Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nats trying to tack onto their 6-3 lead. Here's the set. The kick in the 1-0. Wood drives one, deep right field. It's hooking toward the corner. Will it stay fair? It hits the foul pole. It's a home run. James Wood bangs it off the foul pole for a three-run shot. The Nationals blow it wide open as they lead it 9-3.
How about this guy, James Wood? He's ridiculous. Another unbelievable game last night from James Wood. 3-for-5, 4 RBIs, his 22nd homer of the year. He's now on pace for just over 45 homers. Not exactly what Cal Raleigh's on pace for. He's on pace for 67 in Seattle this year. But the Nats won. They beat San Diego last night, 10-6. That, the call from Dave Jagler last night in San Diego, is Wood homered and drove in not only himself but two others to extend their lead to 9-3. They won 10-6. Good morning, everybody. Bobby Marks, who is an NBA draft guy for ESPN. We've had Bobby on the show before. He'll join us in about 30 minutes. We'll talk some NBA draft. It is tomorrow night and Thursday night, but we'll find out what he's thinking as far as the Wizards go. Mike Wilbon was on my podcast yesterday. I'll play some of that for you. We talked about the NBA Finals, of course, but we talked about some of the ways in which games were officiated during the postseason. And Mike had a big bombshell, I think, that he laid out there for me. So we'll play that probably at 11 o'clock. In terms of something that was a conscious decision when it came to this particular postseason and refereeing these NBA games, I'm going to start with this from Zane. Actually, I'm just going to tell you up front. Dozens and dozens of tweets yesterday and emails from all of you based on, I guess, what you guys thought was some sort of breaking news report, which it was not. I was just talking about what I've talked about since last October. But Zane wrote, Kevin, will they keep the black alternates? Zane, I have no idea if they'll keep the black alternates. From Will, Kevin, why wouldn't they use the logo? The logo was never considered to be a problem. Will, you're right. The logo was never an issue. No one ever, you know, accused the logo of being insensitive or racist or anything else negative. But I don't think they're going back to the logo. But I don't know for sure. But that's my guess, is that they're not going to go back to the old logo. From Hal in Gaithersburg, Hal, it's been forever since I've heard from you. Hal used to be a guy that would write me all the time. Hal wrote, been a while, Kev. I'm not all back in, but a uniform change would help. From Jennifer, Kevin, more please on what they'll look like. Appreciate the conversation. Wow. You guys are amazing. I'm telling you right now that this is just me Okay, this doesn't mean that it's everybody's experience, you know, in sports media in this town. I'm just speaking from my personal, you know, experience and observation. Other than Mondays after a game, or maybe Fridays leading into the game, the draft, nothing generates more activity when it comes to calls, tweets, emails, than name, uniform, branding talk. Nothing. That tells me all I need to know. And look, this is not a big reveal. It's been that way for a long, long time now. But just to be clear, I don't know, maybe the station sent something out that once again appeared as if I was breaking some news yesterday. I wasn't. I was just responding to people, Max, that had seen the spear, arrow, feather logo, and were excited that maybe that was an indication that there might be something happening with the uniforms, and I just said what I said back in October, which, you know, we're coming up now, you know, we're talking about eight and a half months ago, when I said about the name, I said, look, there's no guarantee they're going to do anything with the name when the season ends, but I mentioned all the way back in October and repeated it yesterday, but I did learn from somebody definitely in the know that they will do something more likely than not with the uniforms, and it will probably start next year. And back in October, that means the upcoming season, 2025, with, you know, an alternate, you know, throwback to what they used to wear, or something resembling what they used to wear, and that may ultimately get, you know, blended into something permanent in the year or two after. That's all. You know, this is something that I don't know if anybody was talking about it back then. I don't pay attention to it. I'm not an auditor of who gets things first or fifth. But back in October, that's what I had. I had information that they would very likely be doing something with the uniforms to make them look like the old uniforms, that the history, the tradition, the brand was still very important to ownership. By the way, the name was important to ownership in the moment as well. There were still many, many conversations about what to do with the name. What changed that was 12 wins in the regular season, two more in the postseason, which allowed for kind of a path of immediate, you know, least resistance, which is why they came out and said, we're sticking with the name. It's something that the people out here in the building have really warmed up to. And that was always a possibility because, again, you know, as it relates to the name, as much as I would, I mean, do cartwheels, that wouldn't look pretty, but would attempt to do cartwheels over them going, of course, back to the old name, which is not an option, but going back to Washington Football Team and allowing us to call them the Skins and bringing back the old uniforms with the old logo. I understand it's not easy, that there are so many different options in that almost anything that they would land on wouldn't be overwhelmingly the right answer for everybody. You know, it would probably be polarizing. Now, I have felt, and I still feel, that doing nothing is worse than doing something, but they've chosen the path of doing nothing as it relates to the name. And we'll see how it works out for them. Look, a Super Bowl trip, another 12 wins and a deep playoff run, you know, year after year with Jaden Daniels being an MVP candidate and maybe an MVP, that's going to attract more people. It's going to build their business from where it was when they bought the team to where it is now to where it could be. Are they missing out on the ultimate home run in terms of immediacy of getting people back into the fold? I think so, but that's, again, it's not easy on the name front. I've always acknowledged that. As much as so many of you, and you push me and others like me on this all the time, it's a different era. We're living in a different world than we were 5 years ago. They should go back to the old name, and to hell with Roger Goodell and the league sponsors and the league network partners, etc. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. you know, do I understand how popular it would be and that it is the home run answer for our fan base, past and present? Yes. But I just don't see that happening. I think that horse left the barn in July of 2020, and it ain't coming back. I still would prefer something else, but I understand how difficult the challenge of going to something else is. Look, if they had gone 6-11 this year, I think we would have been having serious conversations over the last few months about a name change. And I think the process would still be very much alive. But I also understand how challenging it was. Look, they looked into it. They understood that there was no easy answer. No easy answer. I get that. Now, on the uniform front, that's what I said back in October. It was told to me, the name, we'll see. Uniforms, really good chance that something will be done to make this team look like the way it used to look. And it would start in 2025, and they said at the time next year, with all, you know, an alternate uniform, and that hopefully that would be the precursor of something more permanent the following year or 2 years after that. I mean, you've got, you know, certain things you got to do with the league before you change the uniform. Look, I get the, you know, this is what we talked about for years, you know, during all of the name conversations, when, you know, a lot of people that didn't really feel, you know, close to the team, weren't necessarily fans of the team, didn't really care what Native Americans themselves truly felt. And by the way, that's complex too. I mean, 500 plus Native American reservations, and they're very autonomous. You're going to find a few that actually didn't like the name. But for the most part, most of the polling that was always done indicated that at the very least, this was a very complicated issue and a very debatable issue within that community. And that likely a significant majority absolutely didn't feel, you know, as if the name was insensitive or racist. But beyond that, we talked about for many years that, you know, emotional attachment to a brand is a real thing. You can ask any, you know, consumer goods company that produces retail products for consumers, and they understand brand attachment. And this was an 85-year-old, you know, brand with an incredible loyalty and brand attachment to it. Now, Snyder started to chase a lot of those people away. You know, we saw the deterioration of the fan base, the erosion of the fan base, because of how bad the team was, how embarrassingly behaved the team was. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, quantifiable, you know, stuff from people, you know, during those, you know, 2018, 19, 2020, you know, 21, 22, you know, roughly 2/3 of the fan base was chased away. You know, they don't have all 2/3 of it back. There's, you know, we know that from ticket sales for this year. We know that from attendance even last year that wasn't any different than the year before. But they got a lot of people back. Clearly, the tent got bigger. The umbrella, the fan base grew because of the performance of the team, because the team had a superstar quarterback, etc. Because the team is just flat out more likable than they've ever been. But what was always at risk with any sort of significant brand change was what people in branding and consumer goods call emotional detachment. That was always the risk. And the way you get around that risk is to win big and win big right away. And they didn't do that after the name change in 2020. I guess they did go 7-9 and win the division. But they ended up being a terrible team for the next four seasons, right? 20, 21, 22, 23. Before, you know, being resurrected last year. And those people that were detached emotionally are, you know, still detached emotionally. They don't feel it the same way. I don't feel it the same way. I've been very honest about that. I don't feel it the same way. And things like bringing back at least a team that looks like the team you used to watch on the field rather than the expansion team that landed here in February of 2022, it'll help. It will help. And I think that's what Hal in Gaithersburg, who obviously was one of those who was detached by the whole thing. Been a while. I'm not all back in, Kevin, but a uniform change would help. So these are the things. They understand some of this will help. You know, and of course, number one on the list, it's never changed, is winning. And winning big. And they started to do that last year. Yeah. So overall, uniform talk's not my favorite thing. I just shared with you 8.5 months ago what I had learned. I haven't learned anything new since 8.5 months ago. We were just sort of responding to some of the feedback from some of the, I guess, images or pictures or whatever was out on social media with the arrow and feather helmets. Those, by the way, just so you know, were throwback helmets a couple of times, throwback uniforms. But those helmets were not championship helmets. Most of you know that. They were the helmets of the 60s. Lombardi, when he got here in 69, made the change to the logo, which was not, you know, put into actual circulation until 1970 after he had passed away. You know, he coached here in 69. They won for the first time. 7-5-2 was the record 14-game schedule. Two ties, no overtime back then. He had the thing going in the right direction, and they had those uniforms with that logo, the spear, the feather off that. And then they went to something that resembled the Green Bay Packers helmets. He wanted, just like the G, he wanted R. And so you had the yellow-ish helmets with the red R, which was the 1970 and 1971 logo and helmet. And then George Allen took over in 71 after Lombardi passed. And they had, you know, a season of in 1970 that was just very, very sad for the franchise after losing Lombardi in the summer of 1970. But George Allen came in 71, and with the help of the Wetzel family, Blackie Wetzel, developed the logo that we, you know, certainly attached to, you know, great teams, championship teams, Super Bowl winning teams. And that lasted until 2020. But I don't know what specifically they're going to look like, guys. I have no idea. Jennifer, more on what they'll look like. I appreciate the conversation. No, I appreciate you reaching out, and I know how important this is to so many of you. I don't know what they're... I just was told back in October they're going to look like the old uniforms. But I did get a sense back then, and I still have that sense, that the logo won't be a part of what they end up going to. I don't think it will be. I don't know what the logo will be. My guess would be the W stays on the helmets, but the uniform looks like, you know, the uniforms that we remember being a part of the team for, you know, 50 years or whatever it was. All right. So Bobby Marks is going to join us at 10:35. We're going to talk some NBA draft with him. I've seen some of these mock drafts. First of all, the NBA draft, it's not my favorite thing. It's certainly not the NFL draft. I mean, it is an even bigger crapshoot than the NFL draft is. It is, you know, taking wild swings on 18-year-old gifted, talented basketball players that you have no idea. You got to have some idea if you're doing this for a living. But ultimately, we've seen this with the draft, that you just don't know what they're going to look like when they actually become physically mature young men. And it's a real, you know, roll of the dice. You know, Cooper Flagg certainly has the skill and the talent to become special. I actually really like Cooper Flagg's potential in the pros. I've liked Dylan Harper from the jump as a guy that clearly can score. Sometimes I think those positions, those guys that have really scored at the college level, you know, they're easier to project. But after that, you know, there are a couple of players I like, and we'll talk about more of those tomorrow on the show leading into the NBA draft. But man, the NBA draft, who the hell knows? You know, you don't have to have the top pick. We understand that. You know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, not a top 10 pick. Jaylen Brown, last year's MVP, you know, not the number one overall pick in the draft. We've had Jokic, a second rounder. Giannis, outside the top 10. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard, outside the top 10, win, what is that, 5 out of the last 6 or 7 titles and be MVPs. You just somehow have to get it right. And for the Wizards, you know, Will Dawkins and company, they've got to land on somebody. You know, maybe they did it last year and we just don't know. Maybe Carrington, maybe George, maybe Saar. Maybe one of those three is going to be a third team or second team All-NBA player in 3 or 4 years. You know, I don't know that we saw that in their rookie seasons, but you don't really know even after one season. I actually thought all three showed signs that they will be contributing, you know, players and NBA, you know, players, not end of bench players, but participants on NBA rosters for years to come. But did they find, you know, their answer? The guy that's going to be their SGA, that's going to be their Giannis, that's going to be their, you know, Kawhi or their Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? I don't know. But they've got to find that in this draft or next year's draft. I mean, if we're now, what that would be 4 drafts starting with the Coulibaly draft once they, you know, got down that path. You know, and you've got, let's say, 4, 7, 10, you know, 9, 10 players over a 4-year period that have been picked. You got to know that you got 1 or 2 that can really lead a championship chase at that point. And it's hard to get it right. Look at all the great players that have gotten passed over that end up leading teams to the promised land. Not easy at all. But we'll see. They've got 6 and 18 tomorrow night. And then they also have second rounder early in the second round. Can't discount those, especially with some of the great players that have been taken in the second round. Jokic would be number one. All right, we've got some football to talk about. A breaking story related to NFL contract collusion. We'll get to that, and then Bobby Marks from ESPN will join us at 10:35. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So there's a story out there written by Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, about something that he and Pablo Torre is with ESPN, correct? Yes.
I believe he was with ESPN. Okay. I think he does his podcast, Pablo Finds Out, which is a DraftKings sponsored production now.
So let me just give you the headline. They both believe that they have uncovered an effort by the NFL to collude against guaranteed salaries. Now, let me read from the story. Pablo Torre and Mike Florio teased that some major news was on its way last night. And the actual news itself came on Pablo Torre's podcast in called Pablo Torre Finds Out. The show's host, Pablo Torre, explains that he and Florio had engaged in a friendly competition to uncover an arbitration ruling in the NFL Players Association's grievance against the league regarding collusion allegations, with Torre ultimately obtaining the document first. So there has been, much to my surprise, this is not something we've talked about, but there has been arbitration between the NFL Players Association and the NFL, with the accusation being that NFL owners colluded back in 2022 to quell or to stop fully guaranteed contracts. Well, this arbitration ruling apparently was uncovered by Torre and maybe even Mike Florio. And although, and this is what Pablo Torre states, the arbiter ruled in the NFL's favor, the document itself describing the arbitration remained very damning of the NFL. And here's what gets revealed by Florio and by Pablo Torre. The system arbitrator, the arbitrator in this case, was somebody named Christopher Droney. He wrote this past January 2025 that, quote, there is little question that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of the commissioner, encouraged the 32 NFL clubs to reduce guarantees in veterans' contracts at the March 2022 annual owners' meeting. Closed quote. Now, let me just repeat. The grievance itself failed. They ruled in favor of the NFL. But Droney, this guy Christopher Droney, the arbitrator, essentially said that the union, the NFLPA, failed to prove by a, quote, clear preponderance, closed quote, of the evidence that the teams acted on the NFL Management Council's advice. So the NFL Management Council, for those of you who don't know, is this very powerful, essentially legal structure within the NFL. It's the group that negotiates everything on behalf of the commissioner and the 32 NFL teams. It is considered to be a very powerful part of the league, but it's separate. You know, the league itself is not an incorporation. It's not a corporation. It's not an LLC. It's just a group of 32 businesses that have come together as one for the purposes of providing NFL football and making money off of it. But anyway, the point being that they felt that while there was an attempt and direction given to not go down the path of guaranteed contracts, the NFLPA didn't prove that league owners actually took the advice from the management council. But there was another piece to this. The piece was about Russell Wilson. This was a conversation, by the way, in the wake of the Deshaun Watson five-year, $230 million, pretty much fully guaranteed contract. So when they had these conversations at the 2022 owners meeting, it was in the wake of this horrible contract that Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson. Later on that summer, Russell Wilson was traded to Denver and then signed a new deal with Denver. Well, apparently the NFLPA did not like that Wilson didn't get a fully guaranteed deal. And NFLPA president J.C. Treader at the time insulted Wilson behind the scenes, referring to him as a wuss over his failure to secure a fully guaranteed contract. Instead of being the guy that made guaranteed contracts the norm, Wilson's the guy that ruined it for everyone, Treader said in a text message, according to the evidence uncovered by this arbitration. The theory goes that the NFLPA didn't want this arbitration, you know, comment by Droney to come out because the text message comments about Russell Wilson from Treader would be revealed as well. So there you go. Shocker. The NFL owners colluded on guaranteed contracts. But they didn't lose the arbitration hearing because the NFLPA apparently couldn't prove that they acted on the advice of their management counsel to stop guaranteed contracts. The irony is that really the first person to get a fully guaranteed contract was Kirk Cousins when he signed with the Minnesota Vikings in 2017, in the offseason of 2018. But man, that deal didn't come close to the Deshaun Watson deal. All right, we'll talk NBA draft with Bobby Marks from ESPN next.
All right, well, now that we're through the NBA Finals, some NBA trade news is hot off the press that the Celtics are sending Jrue Holiday back to the Portland Trailblazers in exchange for Anfernee Simons and 2 second-round picks. And MRIs confirmed yesterday that Pacers guard Tyrese Haliburton has torn his right Achilles and will likely miss the majority, if not all, of the 2026 season. In a statement he released to social media last night, he said, quote, "I'd do it again," end quote. Cal Raleigh continues to extend his lead in the AL home run race after he launched his 32nd dinger of the season, his 6th home run in his last 6 games, and Aaron Judge trails with 28. The Bats get active last night to hoist themselves over the Padres. Mitchell Parker gets the win, and James Wood hits a three-run bomb to bust it wide open. The Nats win 10-6. They'll continue against the Padres tonight. First pitch at 9:40, and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 9:10. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10-1, and Craig Hoffman from 4-7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tomorrow night, the NBA draft. Not exactly the NFL draft, especially for cities like ours, but the Wizards have two first-rounders. They've got a second-rounder. They're in the midst of this, you know, this process of acquiring lots of picks and taking swings. The draft lottery didn't work out great for them, but they will pick 6th and 18th in the first round of the NBA draft. Joining me right now, Bobby Marks, an NBA front office insider, draft expert. He was the general manager, assistant GM in the NBA with Brooklyn for many years. We've had Bobby on the show and love his insight, and he does a really good job, especially this time of year, in previewing not just the draft opportunities, but really the overall franchise situation for all 32 teams, and he did that yesterday as it related to the Wizards. Before we get to the Wizards in the NBA draft, because we're just a day removed from an actual Game 7 in the NBA Finals, what did you think of, A, the series, this final series between OKC and Indiana, and the postseason overall, the last 2 months of some pretty compelling games and series? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, you know, certainly the finals on probably most years, it was, you know, the ultimate roller coaster, right? I mean, we went from Oklahoma City losing at the end of game one by blowing a lead to a game seven where, you know, Tyrese Haliburton, you know, tears his Achilles and Oklahoma City prevails. I think we probably learned a lot about Oklahoma City as far as the growth of this team from that Denver series till to now, a team that's probably only going to get better moving forward here. But I do think we're kind of living in a day and age of parity in the league where there's, you know, certainly now when you have, you know, the Tatum injury and Lillard and Haliburton, three guys on Achilles, three of the top five teams in the East, that changes the dynamics a lot, certainly in the Eastern Conference and then what you see out West, what's going on right now. So you probably have, I don't know, 25, 26 teams that have I think they can, you know, get into, you know, our playoff teams. And I think a lot of that probably stems from the rule, the injuries, and then certainly how the rules are in place right now.
Yes. Yeah, so if you had to guess on whether or not Oklahoma City is at the beginning of something, you know, we don't have to call it a dynasty, but we can just say, you know, what we said about Denver 2 years ago, that this isn't going to be the first. There are going to be more to come for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. Do you think that we're at the beginning of, you know, them being a significant part of the NBA Finals in most years over the next five to, you know, plus years?
They have the resources, not just what's on their roster, but what potentially could be coming with their draft picks to be, you know, a face in June for a long time here. Certainly for next year. I mean, you look at what they have. They've got all 15. They've got to make some decisions with probably the back end of the roster because they have 15 players under contract, and they have two picks, 15 and 24 in the first round. And then they have Nikola Topic, who probably not many people don't know. They drafted him in a lottery last year as a point guard, and you know he was injured this whole year, and he'll be back. And then they have the potential of having four first-round picks next year. So I think they have the resources to sustain this. I think it will be interesting when Shea and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, three players that are extension eligible. Is there a ripple effect a few years from now as far as, you know, what happens with maybe some of the back end of the roster, the Lou Dortz and the Isaiah Hartenstein? But yeah, I mean, I think if out of any of the 30 teams, they're the one team that they certainly have the sustainability.
If they didn't do it, what would be the reason other than injuries?
You know, I mean, it's always the, you know, you sometimes you want to say that the dynamics of the locker room, but man, you watch these guys. I mean, they generally love each other. You know, that's the beauty. I think they're just so young and, you know, they probably haven't been through some, you know, outside of playing, you know, the real life things. And now some of them are going to get paid pretty handsomely here. So, yeah, I mean, just from the, you know, the sports, whether it be not just basketball, sometimes there's a rift, whether money comes into play. Maybe there's a player that sees his role expanded, should be expanded more. You know, if Cason Wallace, for example, maybe thinks he's a starter and he's not happy with his role. Those are usually sometimes the dynamics as far as what kind of splits teams up.
I thought, and I'm just curious as to what your reaction to this, I thought I was watching over the last 2 months one of the best defensive teams that I've ever watched this time of year. And I think there's a lot of numbers and advanced numbers that would prove that out.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was not, you know, overwhelmed by this team offensively. Forget the shooting itself, which was streaky.
Yep.
They were a stagnant offensive team a lot of the time, almost looked borderline at times disorganized. I mean, they couldn't handle full court pressure, getting the ball in bounds in multiple games. So I look at that. I mean, I loved watching this team defensively, Bobby.
Yeah.
But I look at that, and then I look at the competitive landscape in the West, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they don't end up going on a massive championship run.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, listen, this is not your 93 Bulls. You know, and it's probably, I don't even know if it's the 2015 version of Golden State. I would say, yes, from an offensively standpoint, we saw it. I mean, we saw it in the games they lost, and I think we started to see it in Game 7 when things got tight, right? They went ISO ball, it stagnated. They got bailed out a little bit on maybe some calls, and I think Dort hit the three on the top of the key. You know, if there was another 5 minutes, it would have they would have probably been in trouble. But the beauty of it is defensively, because when they defend and they turn the team over, it comes in waves. You know, a tie game could be a 10-point lead all of a sudden here. And that's why I said at one point of Game 7, I said, listen, Indiana was -4 in turnover margin. They were down 3. I was like, if you just keep it at this, you've got a chance. But when you start turning the ball over, that just leads into what Oklahoma City is really good at.
Yeah, and it was, you know, these were forced turnovers the majority of the time. It was impressive to watch, not just in this series, throughout. All right, let's talk draft. We're talking to Bobby Marks at Bobby Marks 42 on X. He was in the front office in the NBA with Brooklyn for many, many years and has been doing this at ESPN now for many, many years. Just big picture on the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Like, when, I mean, you study it every year, but I kind of look at it as like such a crapshoot. You know, 18-year-old, such a projection, which is why Jokic, a second rounder, was an MVP. Giannis outside the top 10. SGA outside the top 10. Kawhi outside the top 10. You're never sure where that transcendent superstar player will get picked. How do you kind of just describe overall the process of the NBA draft and, you know, the sort of roll of the dice nature to it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no exact science as far as how the draft goes. And I think if you talk to a lot of front offices, it's probably one of the more challenging ways as far as assembling a roster. A little bit of it, you know, certainly comes with luck. A little bit of certainly it goes beyond the basketball court, where you know the personality of that player you're drafting and how he fits into your locker room and how coachable he is and a lot of the different elements to it. I do think when you nail, as I say, you know, if you nail the draft and you get these players on these four-year contracts that eventually turn into another 4 or 5 year contract, that can set you up for a long, long time. And I think, you know, listen, this year, I think there's probably, you know, certainly where Washington is at six, and then they're, you know, the pick at 18, you know, we'll start with the pick at six. There's probably three tiers. There's the Cooper Flagg tier. There's the Dylan Harper tier at tier two. And then there's a group of five or six players in that tier three where the Wizards are going to be picking at, whether it be Ace Bailey or Jeremiah Fears or Kaman Malilock or Konta Nipple, VJ Edgecombe, you know, there's a Trey Johnson. There's a lot of good players in that mix here. And it's you got to trust your personnel guys. I always say that, like, they're the guys, they're the boots on the ground. They're the ones out there going to gyms, watching guys in practice, going, you know, and on a Tuesday night in at Cameron Indoor Stadium, seeing a player against Citadel, for example. That's where you know, if you have great personnel guys, then I think it gives you an advantage when you go through this process.
So let's start with Flagg. Do you think he is, you know, what we thought Zion Williamson would be, what we think, and even to this day, what Victor Wembanyama will be? Where is he on the scale of, like, transcendent, you know, franchise-changing number one overall picks?
I saw Cooper when he was 16 down in Southwest Florida, and I thought he could play in the NBA then. He is young. The beauty of him, usually when we're looking at players who are drafted, you know, in the top three or number one, it's always the offense that stands out, which certainly that's a strong trait for him. His best trait is the ability to defend, his length. He can lock you down. He's switchable. I think he can guard multiple positions here. You can put him in a game right now, and you don't have to rely on him to score. That's why going to Dallas is such a good place as far as from a fit standpoint here. So, yeah, I do think, you know, you never know what will happen 3 or 4 years from now. But at least from what we can evaluate, I think he has the potential to be pretty special.
You know, fans do this. I don't know if you do this or not, but I think for people who, you know, don't pay attention closely to it, they always, you know, say, well, who's his comp? So who is his comp, either current or historically?
Yeah. I don't, you know, we were talking last night, Jonathan Gavoni does a great job, our draft expert. We were talking about it. And I think it ranges, you know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, certainly the length of Aaron Gordon. I think Kawhi, certainly the measurables are right up there with Kawhi Leonard as far as from, you know, from a, if you're
wingspan.
Just taking, the wingspan, everything else that comes with it. I think, you know, I thought, and I said this to a scout when I saw him a few years ago, he reminded me, and this is going way back, he reminded me a lot of Kevin Garnett when Kevin was coming out of high school in Chicago, just based on, and Kevin was a little bit longer, but just be as the ability to kind of, from the defensive standpoint.
Wow. I mean, Garnett was taller, too.
Yeah, he was you know, 7 foot or so, you know, he was taller, but just from, like, the intangibles, he just has a really his basketball IQ is off the charts. He has the will. He loves basketball. He has the will to win. You know, most of these guys here. But I do think he has a chance to be pretty special.
Yeah, and the Wizards ended up with the sixth pick in this draft lottery with maybe a chance to change their franchise around for the first time in 50 years. So you mentioned Harper is kind of in that next category on his own. Who do you see Harper in terms of comp?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, and he's probably going to a situation where what his strength is probably what they don't need because Dylan, I think, is better. Yeah, I mean, Dylan is better with the ball on his hand. He struggled a little bit from the perimeter. Certainly a crappy score, but you've got De'Aaron Fox and you got Stephon Castle there already here. So you're basically going best available, and then you fit. You figure the fit from there and everything like that. But he's a big guard. Certainly the pedigree with his dad playing in the NBA. For a long time. It's a very interesting story. His mom has been his coach, and she's basically has been guiding him the last, you know, since he's been a little boy.
Interesting. So in that next group where the Wizards will obviously select, and you said there are several players in that group, and we've seen Ace Bailey mock to Washington over and over again. Give me sort of the player that you think would be the best fit for here.
I think Ace Bailey would be. I really do. I get it. Like, there's a lot being out. There's a lot out there right now, but the workouts and him not going places and him blowing off workouts. And I think there's two ways to separate that. I think there's the blowing off a workout or not showing up off a workout. I do think that shows a level of irresponsibility. Okay, but let's remove that. There's been plenty of players in the NBA, in the NFL, who have manipulated the draft process and got to a place where they want to go to. And he's not the first guy to do it. And there's a difference of $15 million in salary by going from 3 to 6. And if he's willing to do that, then, you know, then we can't fault him there. But I just look at him as a position of need. He is long. He is athletic. He is, you know, 6'8". You know, I know he measured at, you know, a little bit light, smaller than what, you know, he was listed at Rutgers. His mid-range game is probably as good as anybody in this draft class. I think there's a little bit of an erraticness with him. His personality is outgoing, as we've seen, of course. But I do think if he's there, I would be surprised if he gets past them at 6.
You know, when you said about, you know, watching Cooper Flagg in November against Stetson, or I forget, Wofford, whatever you said. I mean, I was in College Park. Rutgers came in to play Maryland, and Derek Queen dominated Ace Bailey, sure. And he took himself out of the game, tapped out completely, and said he was sick. And that's one of those things where, you know, if you're a fan of college basketball and the NBA, and I'm a big fan of Maryland and the Wizards, I'm like, I don't want him if he were to fall to wherever we picked.
And
but,
that's what scouts are doing. You know, it's not just he went for 39 against Indiana. Right.
Like
you're looking at every little thing, whether it be off the court. I always look at when a player gets taken out of game. How does he walk off the court? Right? Does he interact with the coach? So I do think there's a lot of different things there as far as just not the basketball skill, as far as the intangibles, as far as how would he be if he's not playing, if he's only playing 10 minutes a game here. So there's a lot that certainly comes into that.
No, to your point. I mean, I saw him one night at Northwestern where he went for 37. I'm like, who's this guy? And it's really hard, right, Bobby? Because they're 18 years old. We don't know how they will physically and mentally grow up because they're not, you know, they're a long way from being men. And that makes it hard. What do you think of Derek Queen? And why has he and Mock slid as far as like 15?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly the pedigree of playing at Mount Verde with the three other players that will likely go in the first round with Asa, Cooper, and Liam. I call him kind of the babyface assassin. He will not do well in individual workouts.
Nope.
I'm telling you, like and he probably will not do. He probably did not do well if you asked him to shoot, you know, 50 top of the key threes and stuff like that. So for me, I think as we said, it's kind of like going back to like, you know, watching him play 5-on-5. Like, we tend to kind of over-evaluate this draft process here because of him going to 10 teams in 3 weeks and, you know, the body breaks down and all these things and his athletic measurables aren't great. And I'm sure you could probably say the same thing with Nikola Jokic, you know, a long time ago here. But I do think his weight is really good. I think he's at 245 right now. I know it was a little bit higher at Maryland. You know, he's a little bit undersized, but I think he's got such soft hands. I think he's extremely, extremely skilled. I think there's a toughness about him. You know, he might look like the youngest player, you know, but I do think there is a toughness about him.
Two more, and I appreciate the time.
Sure.
Walter Clayton Jr., who was phenomenal during the NCAA tournament, he's also played in college for 4 years, and for whatever reason, those guys get knocked down a little bit. I was surprised to see when the mocks started to come out him at the end of the first round. What do you think he is at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we'll probably get pegged a little bit as his size. He is undersized. But when you look at what he did at Florida and I think what he did at Iona is he's a big-time shot maker when the game matters. and I think you have to take that into consideration. He is a bit erratic. He is probably a, certainly with the ball, trying to make the perfect pass, the home run pass here. But he is an ultra competitive kid. I expect him to go in the first round. I think he would be certainly, he's experienced, having been at, the Florida the last couple of years and then certainly at Iona.
All right, last one. Give me the guy that you're in love with that you don't see getting mocked as high as you think he should be mocked. And then the reverse of that. Who do you think right now is being over mocked? Give me those two names.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy that I would, if I was still in the front office and I was picking in the late lottery, I would seriously consider is a player named Nick Clifford. Who is at Colorado State, 6'6" wing. He averaged close to 10 rebounds this year. 4.5 assists. He started at Colorado and then transferred to State. Probably the knock on him is that he's 24. So I really like him. He declared last year, for the draft and everything like that. As far as a guy that maybe might be too high, I don't know. It's so fluid and everything like that. As far as where we might see a little bit high. Thomas Sorber, you guys have seen him down in Georgetown. I think he's projected 15, 16, somewhere around there. He's coming off the injury that cost him the most of the tail end of the regular season here. I don't think he'll be ready for summer league here. So you're basically you're relying on. As I said, basically 3 or 4 months of what he did at Georgetown. But I think he's got a first round grade. It's just a matter of kind of where he goes.
Yeah, the Nick Clifford, he played very well against Maryland in the tournament game that Derek Queen made the game winner in. But he reminds me of that kid Chris Duarte, who also had a really good tournament for Oregon and was much older a few years ago. But if he can play, he can play. I don't get the age thing usually. Bobby, thanks so much. Really appreciate the insight.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Bobby Marks, everybody. Yeah, that guy, Nick Clifford, that was the game Queen hit the game winner to get Maryland to the Sweet 16. He was awesome in that game. And it was so obvious watching the game because it's like they're playing Colorado State and you don't think they have any pros. And it's like, wait a minute, they got a pro on their team. This guy, Nick Clifford, who was wearing, I think, number 10, it's like whoever number 10 is, that guy is an NBA player. He certainly looks like it, and he is now mocked in the first round. Interesting stuff. It's going to take a few years to figure out who got it right and who got it wrong. I'll tell you what, though, he is a clear big-time Cooper Flagg fan, and some of those comps are pretty damn good comps. All right, Mike Wilbon joined me on my podcast yesterday. You'll hear some of that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up.
Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.